Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante and with Greg Pickle. And it's quarter number three, and of course that means it is time to Ask Greg. This is where we have Greg answer your Penn State football or recruiting questions. And if you want to submit a question, you can download our free app from the App Store. Just look for Keystone Sports, or you could email us at info@ksnsports.net. After the segment, we will select the best question, and the winner will receive the highly coveted KSN polo shirt. And then come quarter number four, if we remember, Greg, if we remember, we will announce the winner. So you ready for your questions?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with Connor from Huntington, who says, hi, guys. Enjoy the show. Keep up the great work. Good start here by Connor. If you went back in time and had to choose either Saquon Barkley or Trace McSorley to play for Penn State, which one would you choose?
You know, obviously, going back on it, I think it would you'd have to go with Barkley, don't you? I mean, he was just such an all-world talent, a guy that is once in a lifetime, really. And I know Penn State won a lot of games because of Trace McSorley, but I think that, you know, and it's true that Trace McSorley opened up a lot for Saquon Barkley, but that relationship worked both ways, and can't tell you how many kids still, I think, you know, look up to Saquon Barkley and think that Penn State's a cool place to play or the place they want to play because they can follow in Saquon Barkley's footsteps. So it's a tough one. You could really make a case for either one, and I don't think you would be wrong, but I feel like you have to go with Barkley.
What's interesting about this question, Greg, my first instinct was to actually go with Trace McSorley because of at quarterback. My instinct was he had more effect on Penn State winning games, and not just because he was the quarterback, but he was the leader of the team, and he did have more effect on them winning. But I just get the feeling McSorley at quarterback would have been more replaceable than Saquon Barkley. There probably were other Trace McSorleys around. There was no other Saquon Barkley around.
That's right.
You brought up a good point. There's the lasting effect where players look at Penn State differently because of Saquon Barkley. So I'm going to go with you on that one. All right. Next up is my buddy David from Lakewood Ranch, Florida, who I always give a hard time because of him writing in from Florida while we have the snow here. I'm going to start with the end of his question, though, first, Greg. He says, after listening to our conversation about him being there with the warm weather, he points out, I'm walking my dog at 6 p.m. on Friday, and it's a beautiful 80 degrees down here, guys. Come visit, and I'll find us somewhere that serves Labatt. I just want to make this note to David. Be careful what you wish for.
That's right.
We still have snow on the ground here. Do not be surprised if Greg and I show up at your door with our golf clubs in hand, Dave. So be aware of that.
That's right.
All right. Let's get to his question. David says, hey, Jim and Greg, Coach Franklin has always been of the mindset that when you're committed to Penn State, then you shouldn't be visiting other schools. If and when the dead period goes away, do you think he relaxes this mandate for our current committed recruits?
Yeah, I really don't see how he has a choice. I mean, obviously, when these guys are able to take trips again, and they haven't been able to for, it'll be well over a year at that point. Yeah, if guys want to go out and see some places, I just don't know how you're going to be able to hold a hard line stance like that. I mean, obviously, I think you're going to tell them, look, you committed to us for a reason, and we asked you if there was anything else you were going to want to see before committing to us, and you said no. So I'm sure there'll be some frustration. But yeah, I don't see how you can do that, play that card this year, Jim. I really don't. I don't see how, if you're Penn State or any other school, you kind of hold that hard line this season. I just, with the way everything has been and the lack of taking visits and all that, I just don't see how anyone's going to possibly be able to do that. So, you know, I think that when it all comes down to it, Penn State will be fine. But, you know, they're going to have guys coming after their recruits, and they're going to be going after other guys' recruits. That's just the way this is going to work. It is going to be a crazy summer. I wish that at some point here we would get a map of what that's going to look like. I can't imagine there's going to be a July dead period, for example. But, yeah, we'll see how everything shakes out. But I tell you what, it is definitely going to be a wild ride once we get into, you know, June, July, August, heading up toward the season.
I'm really curious as how that will play out, Greg. Remember a year ago that we said last year was going to be the year of the decommits. Just you wait as it gets closer. Now, the on-campus visits never came about, so we don't know what effect that would have had. But in the end, we didn't have all those decommits that we thought we had. It will be interesting this year if they finally could make visits, you know, how players will react to that. And I think you hit it on the head. Now, even though previously, you know, James Franklin certainly frowned upon those other visits, a player was still able to do that, correct? And
yes,
James Franklin was not going to pull a scholarship, correct?
Yeah, I don't really know of any cases where – and look, I mean, that's a tough thing to do, honestly. I just – it's very hard for me to imagine, you know, pulling an offer to a guy who's been committed to you because he says, hey, I want to make extra sure that I'm ready. Now, again, I know that when they you know, when they ask these kids, are you sure 100% that you're ready to commit to us, you know, they have that conversation. But, you know, again, I think in this year in particular, you're going to have to just let it play out a little bit differently than in the years past. I mean, if you're a big-time recruit and you haven't got to visit any schools and you love Penn State, but you say, you know what, I wouldn't mind getting the chance to see just a couple of places, get out of my hometown, my community, my house, and go check things out on an official visit somewhere, you know. And there'll be some guys who won't do that. Don't get me wrong. Not everyone's going to be jumping to take visits. But for the ones who want to, you have to let them do it. And you have to hope that your recruiting pitch is strong enough to, you know, strong enough to hold up against what those other schools are showing them.
While we're talking about recruits taking other visits, potentially decommitting, I did want to ask you about Caden Saunders, the wide receiver from Ohio, who's been very impressive. And all of a sudden, it seems he's committed to Penn State, but it just seems like Notre Dame is really knocking on his door. He's now got an offer from Alabama. Is there any update on him and his commitment?
No, you know, his family is basically, you know, saying that they want to keep their options open just in case, and who can blame them? I mean, obviously, you don't know what's going to happen, you know. This time, you know, when you get toward signing day, the first one in December, who knows? James Franklin could have another job. I doubt it. It seems like he wants to stay at Penn State. He has a nice new contract, but, you know, there's no guarantees in life, right? If something came open and that we thought it was better, he could go. Same with Mike Yurcich, same with Taylor Stubblefield, you know. So I think you always have to keep that in mind. And again, these guys have not made visits in a long time. And so these schools, I'm sure, are saying, look, just give us a chance. Come visit us. If you don't want to decommit or if you don't want to consider us after that, that's fine. But once you're allowed to come visit, just swing by. Show us some, you know, come, let us show you around and show you what we have to offer you that maybe you haven't seen during a virtual visit or things like that. So I think Penn State's in a really good spot with him. I know he's one that everyone's going to stress over for really the remainder of the cycle, but I'd be surprised if Penn State doesn't land him when all is said and done, assuming things kind of stay status quo on their side of things.
Greg, we are college football fans. Stressing over a decision by an 18-year-old is what we do.
Right.
So that's just part of it. All right, let's get to our next question. Let's go with Brad in Perkasie. Brad starts with, first, I have a segment idea. How about picking your dream coaching staff for every position? The only rule is they have to have coached at Penn State after the year 2000. You're allowed to mix and match. They just have to have been on the Penn State staff. Not a bad idea, Brad. We might just do that for a segment, and we'll be sure to give you credit if we do that. However, Brad does have a question for today along those lines. His question for today is, who would be your defensive line coach? Sean Spencer, Larry Johnson, or John Scott, and why?
I would think I'd go with Larry Johnson just because of the fact that, you know, when you see what he's been doing at Ohio State, and his name just carries so much weight in the, you know, in the coaching world and the recruiting world, you know, I think I would go with him, Jim. Obviously, he did a lot of good for Penn State, and he's done a lot of good at Ohio State either. So I think that, you know, I think I would pick him.
Well, let me go back into that fan mode again here, Greg. If you pick up, you leave Penn State, and you go to Ohio State, that's it. You're done.
Right, right.
You're a non-person, a non-coach as far as I'm concerned. So I'm going to go with Sean Spencer, and that's my reasoning.
Okay.
Next question. Let's go with Aaron from Houston, who says, Greg, in your opinion, did Penn State benefit from the change to the 2021 schedule? On one hand, it helped with spacing out of the Michigan and Ohio State game, but on the other hand, their first three Big Ten games are extremely challenging with Wisconsin, Indiana, and Iowa.
Yeah, I think they benefited by getting a week or getting, what is it, Rutgers or Maryland? I can't remember which one of them between Michigan and Ohio State. So I think that was good. But yeah, this schedule this year is a bear, man. I'll tell you what, if they find a way to get out of October unscathed or even with just one loss, that'll be really impressive because this is just a meat grinder of a schedule. You know, there's not too many breaks on it outside of, you know, I guess Villanova would be a break to an extent, but a large extent rather. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, there's just not many chances for easy, super duper, no problem victories. You know, Ball State is one of the teams that's going to contend in the MAC this year. So while they're not a Power 5 school, Jim, they certainly are no walkover and no it's going to be no cakewalk to beat them, I don't think. And then you're at Iowa this year. I mean, you're at Ohio State. It is a difficult, daunting-looking schedule, and you have to play at Michigan State to end the year, too, and it is Maryland, Michigan, Rutgers, Michigan State to close the year. So, yeah, I mean, I think they certainly got some benefits that by being later in the year now is a good thing, too, but yeah, all told, this is a tough, tough schedule to deal with.
And, as always, they are in the Big Ten East, which means they have to play Michigan, they have to play Ohio State. Indiana seems to at least have turned the corner. Throw in the fact that you're got a cross division game with Wisconsin to lead off the season, and oh, by the way, we haven't mentioned an out of conference game with Auburn in September also. All right, that's it for Ask Greg. Stick around in quarter number four. We'll announce our winner and we'll look at the 2019 recruiting class.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about salsas like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com. Club.com for all these amazing products and more.